Welcome to MLB Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks edition. Hello, everybody. I'm Allison Footer, and I'm here with Steve Gilbert to talk about all things Diamondbacks as we're inching toward spring training, which everybody is, I'm sure, looking forward to. Steve, there actually is a little bit of Diamondbacks news to talk about. So they signed Wilmer Flores, which I guess means the Marte Parte moves to center field. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, Allison, it certainly looks like that this means that Ketel Marte will at least see some significant time in center field. They also have Socrates Brito out there who they could use. They also have Gerard Dyson out there. But, you know, we kind of been talking for the last few weeks about what were they going to do because they needed to replace AJ Pollock. And they had to replace Paul Goldschmidt. It seemed like they were going to replace Goldschmidt by sliding Lamb over from third to first. The question was, would they get a center fielder or move Ketel Marte out there? And it seems like by this move, which we believe is pending a physical at the time of recording this, that Marte now will slide and see at least significant time in center field. And Flores can either play second, he could play third, and Eduardo Escobar, that would be a real story if Eduardo Perez was coming back. Eduardo Escobar can play some second base, and you know, again, they had gives him some flexibility there. But it certainly seems like right now that Ketel Marte could be their primary center fielder.
Yeah, so I guess that answers a few questions, but it still seems like they are still going to have some decisions to make as far as like where guys settle in when you have a bunch of players who can do a bunch of different things. I guess that's a good thing. On the other hand, it seems to be sort of something that might be fluid even going into the season through spring training. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think one of the things that has become more and more important in baseball these days is, flexibility, positional flexibility and being able to give guys rests. And certainly the more positions guys can play, the easier that is. Now we saw with Chris Owings last year, trying to move him around to a bunch of different positions. That can be hard on a player. It has to be somebody who can handle it. And, you know, a guy like Flores has done that before. So when it comes to Marte, maybe they keep him more in the outfield and use a veteran and let that veteran move around a little bit more because that tends to be easier for them than a younger player. But certainly positional flexibility is something that they were hoping for because it gives them a little bit of added depth. So this kind of accomplishes that, at least for them right now.
And keeping with the theme of having a lot of players who can do a lot of different things, the Diamondbacks recently acquired from the Yankees outfielder Tim LoCastro. Well, he's listed as an outfielder, but it sounds like he can maybe literally play anywhere except for pitcher and catcher. So where does he fit in?
Yeah, he's another guy. You know, they like his versatility in the minor leagues with the Dodgers where he was before he went to the Yankees. You know, he played some left field, he played some center field, he played some shortstop, he played some second. And again, it goes back to what we're talking about and just in terms of, you know, getting guys that can play a multitude of positions. He's somebody who can run as well. The Dodgers really focused on his speed last year and what he could do on the bases. So he's a guy, again, that gives them some flexibility if he's on the roster in terms of the different positions he can play and the fact that he adds some athleticism and some speed to the mix as well.
Okay, so every week we're going to try to examine a different player, somebody who the fans are very familiar with, but still might have some interesting storylines following him as he goes to spring training. And for the Diamondbacks, let's this week talk about Jake Lamb, who if he comes back and is healthy, can really be a contributor. What would you expect to see from him?
Yeah, I think this is a really big year for Jake. And certainly the Diamondbacks are counting on him because, you know, you lose the offense of Goldschmidt, you lose the offense of A.J. Pollock. And Lamb is somebody who certainly can step in and fill a really important role offensively. You look at him in 2017, he was an all-star, hit 30 homers, 105 RBIs. His second halves of the season, he's kind of struggled with, even in 2017. But still, he's a guy that has shown that offensive potential, 29 home runs in 2016. So he's coming off an injury marred last season. You know, he started off okay in the first week of the season. He dove for a ball in foul territory against the Dodgers and injured his left shoulder, and he just never was quite healthy with that shoulder the entire season. It limited him to 56 games, and he ended up having to have surgery. So they're certainly counting on him to be healthy come opening day, and especially if he's going to be moving, as they seem to be planning on it, over to first base. They're going to need him to be a big contributor on this offense in 2019.
One of the more interesting parts of the offseason that doesn't get a lot of attention, but certainly is very beneficial to young prospects, is the rookie career development program. And that is hosted by Major League Baseball. And they pretty much gather the top two, three, four prospects from each team in one place. And they train them on everything from, you know, what it takes to kind of survival in the big leagues, what to expect, how to deal with media, how to deal with just the day-to-day stresses of being a baseball player, just all kinds of things. And the Diamondbacks, one of their top prospects, John Duplantier, he recently attended, and it was in Miami this year, by the way. Usually it's just outside of Virginia, which January is kind of cold, so I think it's best that they do have this thing in Miami. But he talked about just the benefits from attending this convention, and also looking forward to taking a big step this year on the field. So pretty impressive guy. What do you know about him?
Yeah, they really like John Duplantier, both on the mound and off the mound. Very well-spoken, very bright, very analytical in how he goes about pitching. He's out of Rice, had a lot of success at Rice University. He's kind of risen quickly through the system. Somebody that I think by the end of 2019 could find himself in the big leagues very easily. Again, a guy that they really believe is one of their kind of cornerstones going forward as far as starting pitching goes. Somebody they're counting on very heavily. You know, they do have some position players that are lower down in the minors that could be real key contributors, but they've got some pitchers at the top end of the system that they feel really good about it. And he is certainly at the top of that list.
Recently, the every MLB.com reporter, every beat writer was asked to project the opening day lineups for their teams. If the season started today, what would that lineup look like? We are far from opening day, but it's still a fun little exercise. And of course, perusing through the Diamondbacks lineup, wow, there's a lot of big names that are missing there. So certainly a transitional year for the Diamondbacks, but what stands out to you, in terms of maybe where guys are hitting, or is there a player or two that you think is going to have to absorb a lot of the responsibility now that Paul Goldschmidt's gone? What strikes you about this lineup?
Yeah, Allison, that was an interesting exercise when I sat down to do it, because they had not yet acquired Wilmer Flores. So I was trying to kind of do it with just the players that they had there. So I think I had Jerod Dyson as their starting center fielder. And you just kind of could see that the lineup was missing maybe a little bit of thump in it. And, I think behind the plate, if I had to do it all over again, just, thinking about the fact I had Alex Avila in there, I probably would put Carson Kelly in that starting lineup, because I do think he's going to get the bulk of the playing time behind home plate. He's one of the young players that they got from the Cardinals in exchange for Paul Goldschmidt. So it's interesting to kind of see how that top of the lineup is going to go. They really don't have a true leadoff hitter at this point. So that's something that they'll have to kind of figure out during spring training. There were times last year when Torey Lovello used Ketel Marte, and sometimes he used David Peralta. Eduardo Escobar even. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of fill that out. And they certainly need, as we talked about, Jake Lamb to come through, and Steven Souza, as I was putting together that lineup, right fielder. They need some offensive help from him as well, because those two guys are going to be hitting in some pretty important kind of middle of the order positions.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It'll be an interesting spring training for you and for the Diamondbacks. Thank you, Steve, for joining us. Thanks to everybody for listening to MLB Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks edition. And we will do this again next week.